Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome to this. It is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself, or indeed the game, too seriously. I'm JB, alone in the rugby dungeon, but joined down the line by Tim Cocker. Tim Cocker, how are you?
JB, I'm very, very well. I'm having an R&R day after a wild 4 days. Thank you for keeping up the pods. I was trying to join when I could, but it just...
Hey, you've been busy, mate. You've been busy.
4 games in 4 days in 4 different cities.
Now, do you know if, like, there was a Hollywood film and they decided that they're going to do a scene where the action hero has to hide out in, like, a French town somewhere, in a little French village in a French house... This looks exactly like where you are. Exactly. Like Jason Bourne would be hiding out there or something.
It is a gorgeous part of the world, I've got to say. No, my aunt and uncle have got a little place in a place called Nole, which is near a lovely town called Beaune, which is in central France near Dijon. And basically, after carting the van from Marseille to Saint Etienne, to Lyon, to Paris, to Lille. Actually, I did the train... I did the train from Paris to Lyon, there and back. But after carting the camper van hundreds of miles, I'm coming to stay in an actual house for a couple of days.
Has van life got a little miserable for you yet, Tim?
I'm not going to say miserable because I appreciate it. My God, it saved me a ton of money. But it's trying. I will say it's trying. So the other day, when I was after the game in St. Etienne, when autumn finally arrived in France, it was beautiful today, but it was horrible that one day, the Argentina-Samoa game, which wasn't a lot better as a game. I stayed at this little stopover place where camper vans could go. I didn't realise it was right next to a wildlife park. And at 5:30 in the morning, freezing cold, I was woken up by monkeys just screaming.
Howler monkeys, yeah. And gibbons and whatnot.
Yeah, all of that.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, I think this camper van business is marvellous. But if you're going to throw yourself into it without knowing what to do, I mean, you've actually got a camper van, haven't you? So you're actually fairly prepared for this.
Well, Ford very kindly lent me one.
No, for the tournament. Don't you have one other than this?
No, I was going to use my dad's.
Yes, that's right. Home. I think you've got to be experienced with it, because otherwise, I think it can hit you like a bit of a train, like three or four days in.
It can hit you like Peter Steftatoy hit Johnny Sexton Saturday night.
So I guess we've reconvened because we've not spoken to you for 3 days whilst you've been doing unspeakable things and drowning your sorrows, and as well as celebrating England's joys through the medium of alcohol. What have you been doing, Tim? I guess the floor is all yours.
So it seems a long time ago now, doesn't it, that Antoine Dupont fractured his jaw? But I was in Marseille for that game.
Wow. Is that
a funeral? Just got to say, the general atmosphere in stadiums, the general spectacle that France are putting on, like once you're in the stadium, I know there's been issues with people getting into stadiums still. There's still some teething problems. But we know on a WhatsApp group, a friend of ours was at the Wales-Australia game last night and they had serious issues getting out and back into town. So there's still some teething issues they need to sort out. But when you're actually there, the actual spectacle, the rugby spectacle, the theatre of it, is absolutely awesome. And that the atmosphere in that Marseille stadium for the France game was incredible, only bettered by the game in Paris on Saturday night, which you and Phil did a brilliant job at talking about. And yeah, it's the most incredible rugby experience I've ever had.
It was a special game.
Unbelievable.
A special game. I think it's... In my mind, I'm thinking, is it the best game of all time? I think it might be.
It might be. But of course, this is the mad thing, isn't it? 10 days from now... well, no, actually... Yeah, 10, 12 days from now, it could mean nothing if Ireland don't actually beat Scotland. Because Ireland could still get knocked out. If Scotland beat them by more than 7 points,
imagine
then Ireland could be out. Isn't that mad?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And this is exactly what we live for. Exactly what we live for. The cut and thrust and the drama of sport.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is the first time ever that a Northern Hemisphere team has been on top of every single pool.
Is that right? That's a good fact.
England, Wales, Ireland, France.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Bloody hell, I've never even considered that.
Yeah.
And the All Blacks feel, because they've only had that one game against France and are not likely to play again with some serious anger, are they, until the quarters, they feel like they just haven't fired a shot and they're not going to for a while.
Well, they've got Italy on Friday. I'll be at that game in Lyon.
Nice.
So Italy have got basically New Zealand, then France.
Good luck, boys.
Yeah, good luck, lads.
Hey, at least it's in their hands.
Well, that is true. Win two games and then they're in the quarterfinals. And they can lose to South Africa. Or no, they lose to Ireland. That'd be good. We'll see about that. But it's... Yeah, the big games keep on coming. I mean, it's just the skewed draw, again, just keeps coming up. But I quite like it because it's keeping things going. This weekend coming up is the one where I'm like, particularly after the highs of last weekend, the weekend just gone, this weekend's going to feel a little bit meh.
Well, the first weekend was great. The second weekend, not so much. Last weekend was amazing. I think, you know, it's just the highs and lows, isn't it, of World Cup rugby. But you've got to acknowledge, I think, that the World Cup is getting more and more competitive. Isn't it? I mean, like, even the worse-off teams are starting to really put up a good fight. And it's no longer watching, like, a bunch of amateurs. The guys that we're seeing now for Chile and Uruguay, I won't count Namibia in this, I don't think they're in the same league, but, like, Japan...
No, Namibia and Romania, you can kind of exclude from this conversation. Yeah.
But everyone else, these are legitimate teams that are good to watch.
Yeah, Portugal went from scoring their first ever World Cup try to... scoring their first ever World Cup points.
Christ,
and
yeah.
Could very easily have won.
Yeah, which is remarkable because everyone talks about Georgia like they are the absolute boys. And, you know, it looks like Portugal have got something to say.
Yeah, that's going to hurt Georgia big time, particularly if they don't really manage to stay close to Wales. It's going to be a really bad World Cup for them because they were targeting, particularly when you look at the pool, I think they were thinking they've got an outside chance of maybe springing a surprise because Wales 18 months ago were an absolute mess.
Yeah.
But generally, it's been a fantastic competition. I can't wait for the quarterfinals. The semifinals could be a little bit of a letdown, but mate, it's awesome. Awesome.
Okay, so let's just address, why were you not on the podcast last night? And, was it last night? Yes, it was last night.
Yeah, so last night was Wales-Australia.
Tell me about what you were doing after the game, because this is really interesting.
Well, yeah, so Wales, after the games, and previously, on the last time I was on after England's game against Japan, you started the podcast and I did the duties I had to do, and then I came and joined you when I could.
Mm.
It's just, by the time I was finished last night, because there was so much interest and so much to do, the Eddie Jones press conference was dynamite. I've never seen a press conference place so packed. And it was Owen Slott from The Times asked him a question, at which point... Oh, no, so firstly, someone else asked him a question about the rumours of the Japan job interview.
Just before we continue, do you think that is... Do you think that's real? Because he says it's not real at all.
He didn't say that. I was in the room.
Go on.
What he said was, his exact words were...
I don't know
what you're talking about, mate. He didn't say, no, that didn't happen.
Well, if he says, I think that's the same thing, right? So if he says, I don't know what you're talking about, and he's had that interview, he should be fired. That is...
Well, he also... remember, he was in charge at the Stormers when he was rumoured to have interviewed for the England job, and he gave a speech in a press conference going, Man, I'm totally committed to the Stormers, mate. I woke up and looked at Table Mountain this morning, mate. Why do I want to go?
I remember that.
And then about a week later, he was gone. Look, to be honest, interviewing for a job is like, if he was invited, we'd love to have a chat with you. Do you want to have a chat? I don't see the problem with Eddie Jones having a chat because, you know, Australia could just ditch him. You never know. He might be in a situation. I don't see the problem. If he's gone and courted Japan and said, look, I want to try and organise myself a way out of this because can I get a job? That's don't you think it's a little different dynamic?
Yeah, I do completely.
Put this into your own world a little bit. Having chats with people about potentially working together in the future is not, that's just how business works.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think the use of the word interview makes it sound like a formal process, doesn't it? Like,
yeah,
he's been offered an interview, he knows what it is, in he comes. If they said, look, have you spoke to Japan? And it's like, yeah, I have. I've always been close to Japan. I'm half Japanese. I coached the team. They wanted to have a discussion and I wanted to assist with however I could. However, I am committed to Australia is probably a better answer than I don't know what you're talking about, mate. Sorry, I'm gonna have to edit that. My accents.
No. Don't leave it in, JB. Let people hear the accent. Let people hear it. That's what the people want.
No, they don't. No one wants to hear that.
So just in my job, and I know it's slightly different. Well, actually, it's not that different. Being a coach and being like a radio presenter or something, it's fairly similar because you're a soldier of fortune sometimes, and you go from.
I thought you were gonna just say that you pretend in front of a large amount of people because that's how I coached.
But I will. So I have a job. I'm under contract. I'm very happy. But I'll still go out and have coffee with the bosses of other radio groups.
Yeah, because not only that, you want to know what other radio groups are up to, don't you?
Yeah, and I just want to you sort of get a sense of, oh, things might be moving there. That might be worth a conversation again in another year's time. Because just Eddie Jones has a contract, and Australia can ditch him. So anyway, the issue was that the journalist from the Sunday Morning Herald, and I'm not knocking them. It's a great story. What a great get. But the timing of that was horrendous. And you wonder what difference it might have made to the Aussie players who I did ask a couple of them when they were coming to do the mix zone afterwards. I said, you know, I said to Richie Arnold, did you talk about it? Did you mention it? No, I don't know, mate. I don't really understand. They all batted it back like they didn't know anything about it. Which
sure,
I just
whatever.
Don't believe.
Well, you know, who knows?
But what else would you say to a jet? Of course, that's what you'd say. That's what I'd say if I were in their shoes.
He's a snake.
Yeah,
I think. I think there's better ways to answer it. And I think if he's found to have properly interviewed, after saying I know nothing about it, and it's not just nothing about it, it's like. Nothing like, I'm fully committed to Australia. I've told you I'm fully committed to Australia. You know, I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. But he does have every right to talk to whoever he wants. But if it's a full
Now, the decisions Eddie Jones has made have backfired. The lack of experience, the not having a backup 10 for Carter Gordon, and then you ditch Carter Gordon, you play Ben Donaldson for 50 minutes, then you get the Shepherd's crook out for him and put Carter Gordon back in. There's lots of things that have been bad decisions. I just want to temper the Eddie Jones hate a little bit. And I used to temper it when he was England head coach. I was critical, but I was sort of, you know, tempering it a little bit as well. Australian rugby is in an absolutely shocking state. I don't think they should have necessarily got rid of Dave Rennie. However, I don't think for a second they were ever in a position to win this World Cup. So I do understand Australia rugby going, we're in a mess. We're the fourth most popular sport and there's a growing level of apathy in Australia. We've got the Lions in 2 years. We've got the World Cup on our own soil in 4 years. We need to do something.
Yeah.
Now, you can agree, disagree, but, you know, whether Eddie Jones was the right thing.
But when you treat your star player like absolute dirt and you show that you're not a sport which values loyalty or, in fact, anything else which I would value, the treatment of Israel Folau alone would mean I would never, ever back Australia. You know, if I was Australian, what you ask these boys to do, well, you think about the concussion debate, which I don't really like, but we know there's an enormous amount of risk which is involved in this game. So if you just cut adrift one of your all-time best players, remove, not just cut him adrift, you humiliate him, you remove him from the history of the sport, I mean, that does tell you a lot about the organisation, what it actually stands for. They ultimately sacked him because the head of Qantas is gay and they didn't want to continue with the sponsorship. And that was it. And you think, well, That's not a team I'd ever want to support. Sorry, lads, you're on your own. I can absolutely
I'm going to play the Phil role here and just say there was a code of conduct. Might not necessarily agree with the way it was done, but there was a code of conduct which he was previously warned about, blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah. Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah.
Hey, code of conduct or not, you know, deny reality, can't deny the consequences of denying reality.
But I'd say more on this. The one of the strangest things, which I remember thinking on Saturday when I was thinking ahead to that game, was on the train. I was just sort of looking through and I went, hold on, Dave Parecki's the captain. And then I went through the chain of events that led to that. And it was like, hold on, Will Skelton was captain and Tate McDermott was vice captain. Will Skelton was out injured, so Tate McDermott became captain, right? That makes sense so far. Then Tate McDermott was injured for a game, couldn't play, so Dave Parecki was captain, but then Tate McDermott came back in and wasn't captain or vice-captain. It was just... Some of it just doesn't seem to make sense or give the impression that there is any sort of coherent plan. And, I mean, I don't know whether you've seen any of the footage of the Australian players on the pitch afterwards. Like Will Skelton in tears, and is it? Well, I can't remember the guy. Is it Rob Frost? No, what's his name? Nick Frost.
Yep. The second row.
The second row, who actually looks like quite a good player. That's one thing Eddie did say in the press conference. I'm not sure I'm totally convinced by him, but he was going, mate, some of those guys, mate, young guys, they're going to be world class players, mate.
I think he might be right, you know. I think he might be right. I mean, it's a hard old slog for Australia. I think you might be right because, you know, being that young, being exposed to a World Cup, I was talking to an Australian friend of mine the other day who knows his rugby. We had a good old chin wag about things. And he's like, yeah, Cos Gordon is legitimately great. Like, he's going to be a very, very good player. And I think the biggest hope for Australia is they haven't damaged these guys too much because there is a trauma involved with this. You think about Matthew Tate or something like that. You know, there is a price to be paid. And this can go one of two ways. They learn from this. And in that case, Eddie's completely right. They're going to be a great team, but let's temper it. I do not for a second give anyone credit for only building for every 4 years. I think this is a very destructive thing which they do in rugby. It's all about the World Cup. It should all be about all the time.
Well, Warren Gatland's, just to flip it over and give Wales massive credit, you know, as you did on the podcast, rightly so, they were in a similarly messy position, maybe even more of a mess. Well, no, maybe not. But a similarly messy position.
Yeah, they are
in a
right mess. I mean, they have got all the sexual assault allegations floating around.
Oh, we don't need to go down. Let's just talk about the rugby. It's an absolute mess.
But
Warren Gatland has actually had a similar philosophy to Eddie Jones, but he just hasn't been quite as radical.
Yeah. Well,
I wonder, do you know, one of the things we'll never know, the counterfactuals, had Australia been in a pool with an Ireland or a South Africa or a France, something like that, would he have been quite so bold? I think he thought that he could look like some kind of rugby savant genius, picking these youngsters and still managing to get to a quarterfinal.
Well, how about this for counterfactual? What if Wales kept Pivac and Australia kept Dave Rennie?
Yeah.
I mean, where does this land then?
Wow.
But yeah, back to Wales. You are right about them being in a mess. They had a player strike not so long ago. You know, they've got lads without contracts. They've got ever-decreasing budgets in the regions. You know, it just goes on and on and on and on. And we used to joke about it, but the whole point of the Welsh team was to give the Welsh players a break because their life is so terrible at the regions that going to international is, you know, a breath of fresh air. So,
well, I'll tell you what, that group are incredibly tight.
You can tell.
You hear them talk about each other and... It's really little things like in the mix zone. So the way it works is the head coach and the captain come and do the general press conference. Then the official broadcasters get a little bit of one-on-one time with whoever they choose, and then basically the whole squads walk down this little runway in front of these advertising boards, and basically you can just kind of grab anyone you want.
Oh, that's cool.
So you just sort of, I chatted to a few people last night. So from the Welsh team, it was Aaron Wainwright and Gareth Anscombe.
Oh, nice.
And a couple of others. Anyway.
By the way, just when, as you're talking about Gareth Anscombe, what a night for him, eh?
Absolutely amazing with everything he's been through. And yeah, he was, you could tell just how happy he was. Rightly so. I mean, and he spoke and this is what I found really interesting, the relationship, you can just sense it. There's something palpable with those Welsh players as they were walking past each other. One of them was, say, Gareth Anscombe, for example, was, you know, I was still chatting to him, but Josh Adams had finished and he walked past. The kind of the warmth and the little jokes and the and just like the, there's just something you can't really put your finger on, but it's like, oh, these guys, they like legit love each other.
Well, just and think about, say, Dan Bigger as a character. I mean, I'm lucky enough to have interviewed the guy a few times. Like, the guy is really, really inspirational. And I think that rubs off across. I'm not saying it's Dan Bigger that's inspirational, but I think if you've got a couple of characters like him, five or six characters like him, I mean, how hard are you going to play for each other?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a mixture of guys that had a point to prove because they were being written off. Tulu Paufalatau and Aaron Wainwright and others that are like, oh, have we seen their best days? And they're rolling back the years. And then we've got other guys. I chatted to Henry Thomas last night. And, you know, I remember him. I was the match announcer at Sale Sharks when he was like a 19-year-old lad.
Did he remember you?
Yeah.
Did he? Good lad.
Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And like he was, you could just. In fact, it was Alfie, the colleague from Talksport, who was chatting to him, but who was doing the interview bit with him. But he you can imagine how happy he is. He's playing international rugby now at a World Cup. His family were over and watched him play in a record win against Australia.
Yeah,
like they and don't they now look like they're a semi-final team now, aren't they?
Pretty
Argentina.
Let's not count our chickens. I think that Argentina will put up a sterner test than they did against England, against anybody. Because, you know, say what you like about that Argentina performance, I don't think that is a good reflection of who they are.
Yeah, they were better, but not great against Samoa.
Yeah, but these are the guys that they locked in a hotel room for 2 weeks and they beat the All Blacks. You know, don't write them off. They're a good bunch of boys.
It's very true. One of the starkest things was how kind of excited I was watching England against Chile. I knew, obviously, it's the lowest ranked team in the competition, but the way my sort of the way I was thinking about and judging that England game, which I was watching at the Stade de France in the media room, I was like, oh, that's good. That's really encouraging. I wonder if we'll get anywhere. And then I watched. I remember turning to the person sat next to me, Alfie, who was sat next to me at the Stade de France, and. And I just said, after 5 minutes of Ireland, Ireland, South Africa, I went, everything I said about England, just forget it. This rugby is something from another planet.
It's so true, isn't it? It's so true. Same with Wales, Australia. It's like, hey, it's a very nice game. Hope you enjoyed it. But that wasn't the one to, I mean, that's not the one to worry about. None of the teams that you've mentioned there, England, Wales, Australia, anyone really has anything unique about them. France, South Africa, Ireland are unique teams in different aspects.
Well, this analogy I thought was a brilliant one. I can't take credit for it. Someone said it to me that rugby at the minute is like Federer, Nadal and Djokovic all at their peak.
Ooh, nice.
With France, Ireland, South Africa.
Yeah, that's a really
good analogy. Which would make New Zealand Andy Murray, and I don't know what player it would make England. Juan Martín Del Potro, or
somebody,
Marian Cilic,
a perfect analogy, perfect.
But I like that because this, I think most World Cups, because I think South Africa are better now than they were 4 years ago, and most of any one of those teams, this France team, this Ireland team, this South Africa team, at another World Cup, say 4 years ago, I think they're the standout, head and shoulders best team.
Yes, I'd agree. I totally agree. Well, not head and shoulders, but they are the best team.
They would be on their own as the clear favourites.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, I can accept that. So, tell me this, who else have you met? I want to know the inside gossip. Which big rugby names have you bumped into?
Big rugby names that I've bumped into?
I mean, you've
into.
Already bumped into Kieran Brooks.
Yeah, and when he was half cut outside the Marseille Stadium, that was awesome.
No, and then apparently, according to somebody I know who knows him, he went missing for an hour.
What?
Yeah, went missing.
By the way, Marseille's grown on me, mate. I quite like it.
Okay, I think you've lost the plot, mate. It's too much. It's edgy.
It is, honestly, it is really edgy. But here's one thing. So after that France-Namibia game, I parked the van somewhere. I managed to find a parking space, which is a miracle. And it was in not the best part of town. But I thought, I went for some few drinks, came back to just go and crash in the van. And I realised I'd left the window wide open.
Uh-oh.
On the pavement side. And bearing in mind, like, my passport's in there.
Oh, imagine.
The money, like, equipment.
There again, you do have a camper. You do have a camper van. I mean, maybe, you know, post your phone back home, burn your passport, and just live the free life forever.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Just drive off into the sunset. You've got everything you need in a van.
But everything was there.
Well, that's good. I am delighted, because it could have turned out very differently.
Mike Phillips saw Mike last night.
Oh, awesome! How is Mike?
He's very good. Still got it. And Rhys Patchell, looking like Prince Harry.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
And I'm just trying to think. Sterling Mortlock was there.
Good spot. Do you know who's on TV the other day? Which is a good spot. Fabian Palouse, and he looks resplendent.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. In fact, I was thinking about this today, so I went to this lovely little town called Bone, like a gorgeous town, and basically I sort of went, when I get older, I want to be a middle-aged Frenchman.
Interesting.
Because they are so, like, you know, they just dress incredibly well. They when they get that salt and pepper in their hair and their beard, they just look amazing.
Yeah.
And they just have that, you know, that walk, that just like real graceful walk, like they don't have a care in the world.
They are
like
the opposite to the mid-40s Charles and Dad. Aren't they? They really are.
Yeah.
The washed out jeans and slightly baggy t-shirt, probably with a band on it, which is about 20 years old, that and massive white trainers.
Yeah. Well, the white trainers, the French middle-aged French men can pull them off. Look at Fabien Galthié.
Yeah, but they're not the same things, are they? They're very, very different.
You're right.
They're very different.
Right. And the one person who I know you'll appreciate, as I've been saving this one, the one person who I went up to after the third day in a row when I was at the same stadium he was, I went up to and said, I just wanted to come up and say hello, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. And Olivier Magne.
Wow. Charlemagne himself.
That was cool.
That is cool. That's really cool.
And the only other one, I didn't bother him because he was walking out of the Stade de France stadium on Saturday night, but I was like doing that thing where you walk at the same pace as someone, so you're like, and it almost feels awkward. And I just looked and then did a double take, and it was Serge Betson.
Wow, that is cool. I've seen him at Wasps. I'm sure I have.
What, before or after you met Carol Vorderman there?
Same day. I'm sure he was there that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some famous ex-Wasps people.
But it's only going to get ramped up. It's only going to get ramped up. The one concern I've got, JB, is that as the World Cup gets more and more intense, that more people are going to start applying for accreditation tickets, and that you know, I'll be the bin juice that misses out.
I don't know. So, I don't know. We've got a fairly large audience here. I think you'll be all right. You're holding the fort quite nicely.
Hopefully.
Mm. And now, we spoke about rugby players that you met. Egg Chasers listeners?
Mate, so many. So many.
Really?
Do you know we've got loads of Irish listeners?
Yes, I gathered we had some.
We've got a lot, judging by just walking through the stadium. What's odd is, I think I'm not surprised that more people recognise me because I've done the BT Sport thing and the YouTube thing as well, but they definitely mention, love the podcast. Are you doing it with the boys later? So it's not that they've that they definitely listen to the pod, which is
advice is never speak loudly at Harlequins because you get voice recognised instantly. Harlequins is the one. I think we've got more Harlequins listeners than anywhere else. Maybe Bath.
But the crowds have been amazing. They really have. It's yeah, it's good. I know you've chosen Dubai over the Rugby World Cup, but I think that might be an error, mate.
I guarantee it's not.
Is it that good?
Yeah. Somebody said to me, and as with Phil, might have been Layla, actually. They were like, would you not want to go to Nice to watch the Rugby World Cup? I was like, do I want to go to Nice when it's flooded full of middle-aged rugby fans? No, I don't, thank you very much. I'll go to Nice when it's not flooded full of middle-aged rugby fans. So, I'm comfortable with my decision. If it was a home World Cup, I mean, the thing is with Tokyo and when we went to Japan, that was an experience in of itself, and I might never go back to Japan. I can go to France almost any time that I want, and I go to a lot of rugby games, and also, you've got to remember, during the Japanese World Cup, it was possibly the worst podcasting we've ever done, because we were battered, not just a little bit battered, we were battered every single day. We could only get into the stadiums as fans rather than as press. And I'm pretty sure you're able to catch up with all the things that you need to, Tim, because it's easier to sort of navigate the French language and find out where the highlights are than it is the Japanese language. Like, you turn on a Japanese TV guide and try and find the rugby with all the little characters, forget it. It's just not going to happen. So we couldn't watch any rugby. All of our Twitter feeds were shut down because the Twitter accounts that we follow didn't have the right licenses for Japan. It was just difficult. But going to Japan is an experience in of itself. Whereas going to France, yeah, not so much. So I think for the benefit of the podcast, it was probably right that only one of us went.
Yeah, and I held the fort last time, so...
Exactly. It's your turn to shine.
Yeah, no, it is fun. There's just a few things on them. One thing I have been missing by not being there, is it right that Samuel L. Jackson is advertising Warburton's bread in the rugby?
I don't know, because I turn it on exactly at kickoff. I don't listen to any of the punditry, and I stop watching exactly at half-time, and I start watching again exactly as the second half starts. I don't watch anything either side, so maybe.
And
the only time I watch it is when friend of the show Gareth Thomas is on, because he's a shining example of how to be completely immoral and hold down a job. So I tend to watch him because I think I'm going to need his advice one day.
And is there still Ten of Men? Oh, you just see that you're not going to get the same question. You're not going to know.
No. Unless Gareth Thomas is on TV, I'm not watching it.
In France, I've learned a few things.
Go on.
Auto glass is called car glass, but they have exactly the same advert, just in French. Car glass, replacement, car glass, blah, 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 whatever it is.
Okay, so this is very similar to like how GIF was SIF. So yeah. It's GIF over here and SIF over there. TJ Maxx is TK Maxx.
TK Maxx is TJ Maxx, yeah.
In America. Do you know why that is?
No.
Because in the UK we've got... So it's TJ Maxx, but in the UK we've got TJ Hughes at the Liverpool department store, and they deemed TK Maxx to... No, TJ Maxx to be too similar to TJ Hughes.
Mm.
Yeah, there you go. And there's loads of examples. Many, many, much more boring than the one I've given you, which is boring enough in of itself.
Wonderful country, though. Wonderful country here.
Yeah, I agree. It is amazing, though.
And I'm going to be spending my birthday at Uruguay Namibia on Wednesday.
Ooh, that'll be a good game.
Yeah, it's like a cup final for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. So, tell me about your next movements.
So back to Lyon on Wednesday afternoon. So I'm sort of about an hour and a half north of Lyon.
And someone has emailed us with some restaurant tips for you for Lyon. But I don't think... I mean, Lyon is meant to be the gastronomic capital of the world, so...
Yeah, like apparently Michelin star restaurants in train stations is really common.
Yep, real
so
thing.
You'll be sitting in a little restaurant that doesn't look much, and it will have a TV screen with the train times on it, and you're eating Michelin star food.
Incredible.
Yeah,
absolutely incredible.
Well, I'll have a look at the email for that for those tips. But it's tough in a camper van. I'm finding the cities really quite hard because.
nowhere to park.
You can't take it. There's nowhere to park. And all the car park spaces, like don't let anything more than 1.90 meters in anyway. So I just can't get anywhere.
See, this is where experience comes in. I think you'll get your head around it with a bit of experience. You'll pick up some tips and whatnot.
I'm getting there slowly but surely. But the fixtures this week starts with Uruguay, Namibia. Namibia v Uruguay, isn't it?
Got no idea. You tell me.
Yes, it is. Wednesday night in Lyon, Uruguay, Namibia. 5:45 kickoff, JBT time kickoff. Then on Thursday, it's Japan, Samoa. Which is nice. I suppose that's basically...
Japan trying to qualify for the next World Cup.
Yeah, actually, that's the next World Cup qualification position. I suppose Japan, if they win, then they could be Argentina to get second.
Crikey, you're right.
And Samoa, if they win, could be England to qualify.
Yeah, so yeah, that's actually a meaningful game.
New Zealand, Italy is Friday night. I'll be at that one.
That'll be good, hopefully.
Argentina, Chile, South American game Saturday, and then it's Fiji, Georgia. Be so Fiji to lose that one, but I don't think they're going to let it go this time. And Scotland, Romania, they need another 5 points. And then the Sunday fixtures are Australia, Portugal, meh. South Africa, Tonga, meh.
Yeah, not many great ones.
Not great games, is there?
By the time it gets to Friday, we've already had the meaningful ones.
Yeah.
And England on a week off.
England, Wales, and Ireland on a week off.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess you want to save them for the last weekend. So it makes sense. It makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. It's all good. Does it feel like it's capturing imagination a bit more? Are you getting people that aren't normally into rugby talking to you about rugby?
No, is the answer. I mean, look, I'm leading a very sheltered life of CrossFit and financial services at the moment. Beard Monco Independent Financial Advisors, should you need us.
Not should you need us, you do need financial advice.
What are we talking about? Everybody needs financial advice. Pensions,
you need to hedge against inflation. You need to make sure your money's working for you. You need to make smart choices now so that, you know, in years to come, you can look back at the wisdom that you had years ago. You need that advice. So Beardmore and Beardmore.
Because it's three brothers, of course.
Beardmore cubed. Financial advice.
Yeah. I do think Beardmore would be better than Beardmore & Co. But yeah, Beardmore & Co. There you go. Good advert, Tim. Well done. You should do these reads professionally.
I'll think about that. I'll take that under consideration.
Yeah. Now,
are you saying that to me in the guise of a financial advisor or a mate?
Both. It's great.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right. I'll consider it.
Okay. So, last thing: have you listened to either? Have you listened to both the podcasts that we've done since you've not been here?
I listened to. I caught a bit of the Wales Australia one when I was in the car earlier today. I haven't listened to all of it, but okay. I've listened to the Saturday one.
Okay, so the real reason I ask that is, do you want to add anything to anything that we've said before we wrap this up?
Yeah. All I'll say is, you don't need to use words like idiots and morons. You can just let the facts speak for themselves.
No, because you've really got to paint the picture. Like, you can't imagine what was going on there unless I actually paint the picture for you. And it's those descriptive words that really, really, you know, light up the imagination.
All right, and the only other thing I'd say is that... The most nervous I was over the weekend. So on the Saturday night, I couldn't believe how I bet you were really tense watching that game. I didn't really care whether South Africa or Ireland won, but I was so my nerves were shot to bits watching it.
Yeah, I did want South Africa to win. I'm not gonna lie, but I mean, rugby won.
Yeah, rugby did win. So my nerves were already shot to bits, and then I was on the train to Lyon on Sunday, and watching WhatsApp updates of your son's Lancashire Cup rugby match.
How was that?
Was like so tense. I because it was a really tight game.
What was the score?
And, Broughton Park's Raffy Quirk's Broughton Park under 16s won their opening game against Liverpool St Helens. Two proud old rugby clubs. 15-13.
Yeah, actually, talking of your son, Tim, I've just seen your clan on the way to CrossFit.
He can lift basically as much as me now.
I've seen it. I saw all three of them down our road in your car on the way to CrossFit after dropping off my dog.
There you go.
So
it's a cult.
Yeah, it's a cult and it's a family, Tim, and it's a family.
Yes, mate. Yes. Were they wearing? He doesn't wear camo though. I won't allow it.
What? Why not?
No camo colours.
I wholeheartedly disagree with everything which you've just said then. Wholeheartedly. Do you know, CrossFit at its best back in the day, do you know what the prize used to be for winning the CrossFit games originally?
No, what?
A gun.
Oh, amazing. Really, wow. Have you seen they've moved where it is to Fort Worth now?
Yeah, I think that's... Well, I don't know if it's good or not. I mean, I was like, yeah, I want to go. But apparently it's very hot there in August.
Let's go to Dallas. They've got the thing that caught my attention is they have a rugby team there, so we could also visit the Dallas Jackals. No, what are they called?
Hold on,
I want to find this out. It's going to annoy me.
Jackal Sharks,
because they'll be in pre-season ahead of Major League Rugby. So
the land fish. I don't know whatever they're called.
Dallas Jackals.
Yeah, perfect.
We can go and visit the Dallas Jackals in pre-season.
It's a great idea. It's a tremendous idea. I would love to do that. Yeah, so back to not letting Louis wear camo. I mean, bearing in mind that the original prize was a gun, I think he should absolutely... In fact, they should bring that back, shouldn't they? If you win, you get a selection of AR-15s.
I love it.
I would compete so hard for that.
Awesome. Yeah, I think we must have exhausted everything. So this coming weekend, I'm flying back, so I'll be in person in the pod.
Oh, wonderful! Well, that's just in time because Phil is in Boston, so there we go. All's well, ends well.
We'll have two of us in person. I'm back for a few days just to check that still married and the kids still know who I am. Yeah, and
the podcast studio hasn't burnt down. Everything's in order.
Yeah, exactly. Just to do all those safety checks, and then I'll be back out here for the rest of it. Jay, nice to catch up, mate.
Yes, mate. Enjoy the rest of your few days, and I'll see you on Sunday.
Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.